that a woman will be a major party's nominee. Tonight's victory is not about one person. It belongs to generations of women and men who struggled and sacrificed and made this moment possible. So many of you feel like you're out there on your own, that no one has your back. Well, I do.
I'm headed straight for the castle. They wanna make me their queen.
Your efforts have produced a strong majority of the popular vote, victories in a majority of the contests, and after tonight, a majority of pledged delegates.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. It's her party now. Hillary Clinton is now the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. Huge victories for Clinton in California, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota, contrasting the relatively insignificant victories for Bernie Sanders in Montana and North Dakota. The candidates savored the moment last night and seemed enthusiastic to begin the big fight with Donald Trump in the general election.
The end of the primaries is only the beginning of the work we're called to do. But if we stand together, we will rise together because we are stronger together.
Gail Sheehy is the author of the biography Hillary's Choice. She's a contributing editor to Vanity Fair magazine. She has been writing about the Clintons since 1992. Sheehy says this moment represents the reintegration of a very familiar political character who now has the confidence and experience, Sheehy believes, to put it all together.
I think we saw Hillary Clinton find her feminine voice, her womanliness, last night. You know, in 2008, she was run because of her campaign manager, Mark Penn, like a fake man, to prove that she could be commander-in-chief. She's proved that now. She's been all over the world representing America, standing head-to-head with world leaders. I mean, everybody except she has that gravitas. But what she showed us last night was the opposite of Trump's insult campaign. She showed us a woman who warm, empathetic, not afraid to be a woman, embrace being a woman, what that means to add to her presidency if she's elected. And I thought she just really hit her stride in the last big speech she made and then last night. And she talked about throwing her arms open wide, being the president of inclusion. When I'm your president or as your president, that was the first time she's ever uttered those words. She's already in her head occupying that role without getting ahead of herself. There's no braggadocio. She was personally understated, magnanimous, thanking everybody else. And on the shoulders we stand, Shirley Chisholm, early feminists. I just found it was opening. Her arms were open wide and she was fully human and maternal.
Is there a risk that when we say she's warm, she's maternal, that we are judging her by some other standard than simply qualities for the office, yearning to actually be president, that somehow she has to not shout and be warm as a woman to pass some test that we don't give to men?
Well, I think she will shout, and she will tell us, you know, chapter and verse about why she's the most qualified and the most experienced. She won't say this, but I would say it. I think she's the only qualified adult in the race. I don't think that Donald Trump has really reached an adult level of maturity.
Well, the question is whether the electorate has the kind of maturity that matches, you know, what you're thinking of here. And, you know, the more there's a pushback on Trump, the more he grows. This has been a really good week for Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely.
And a bad week for Donald Trump. Absolutely. What do you think this means to her looking at her very, very long career? I mean, if she was envisioning being president in the old days in Arkansas with Bill Clinton.
Right. And she was.
She never envisioned this as the scenario, but yet she it fits her like a glove.
Absolutely. But, you know, my first interview with Bill Clinton in early 1992, the beginning of their campaign for presidency, I said, what is your goal for the future? And he said, 8 years of Bill, 8 years of Hill. But she couldn't have even envisioned getting there this way. She thought it would happen in 2008, a long time ago. And when that slipped away, as she said last night, that's no fun being there. She knows what that's like. To come back and to be older, wiser, more calmer, more self-assured, and more magnanimous makes her a much more likely president.
And to be the younger candidate in the race.
Oh, yes, that's right. Trump turned 70.
And Sanders is even older.
Right. And so it's interesting that at the beginning of this race, everybody thought, oh, my God, she's going to be dealing with the ageism issue. But now she's the young spring chicken.
Barack Obama campaigned in 2008 on a sort of implicit idea that we are now ready for an African-American president, that the ascension of an African-American to the White House was a very meaningful American narrative. I'm wondering if Hillary Clinton is doing something very different, and that is what we need now is a woman president, as opposed to it's time for a woman president. She's changed her rhetoric from what it was a year ago.
That's true. And I think, you know, given the chaos in the world, a woman who was older, deeply experienced, she's known many defeats, she's known many highs, she's calm, she was serene, the opposite of Trump telling us all the time how great he is and shouting it at us and scowling.
Well, we've got a long way to go between now and November. There's plenty of discussion of the email controversy with Hillary.
Right.
There are going to be other kinds of questions. And her weakness is she's got a tight group around her, and she maybe doesn't listen to voices outside of that tight group. How do you assess the traditional weaknesses of Hillary Clinton as we go forward?
Well, I think her biggest weakness is denial. She's been perfecting denial for many, many years because of the many secrets she held about her husband and her family. And denial isn't just specific to one part of the brain. It kind of becomes the habit of thinking, reading out what you don't want to know. And I think she does think that she's done with the Bill skirt-chasing issue. She's not planning to address that. I don't think she can get away with that.
It seems like the American people are over Bill and are really interested much more in something new, whether it's Hillary or Trump or Bernie Sanders. You know, they're not looking to go back to the 90s.
Absolutely. I think it's particularly a turnoff for younger women. They don't know that whole sordid history. They didn't have to live through it, and they don't want to hear about it. So I think it's going to backfire for Trump. I can imagine him getting up there and inviting, you know, Paula Jones and Juanita Broderick and have them tell their stories. I think it would be a terrible mistake for him because we don't want to go back into the gutter. You know, as Lindsey Graham said about Donald Trump, you know, we're having a race to the bottom and we've got the fastest car. It's called Donald Trump.
Gail Sheehy, author of Hillary's Choice, contributing editor to Vanity Fair. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.